B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We signed each and every one of these players with the intention that they're part of our club and to have a very deep hockey team. We've got a couple young players as well that are going to be integrated in there. And hopefully we have a real competitive camp. You know, every player that we had the opportunity to speak with was excited about joining our group because they know they're competitive. They're led by a core group of guys that are driven to win. And we're hopeful that all of them can assimilate, you know, seamlessly. And obviously we'll have some challenges associated with that. But players like Nick and the leadership that he brings, Thomas Nosek's played in a highly competitive environment in Vegas, and Eric Hall has been close. So I just think overall we've tried to add to the depth of our group, not knowing whether we could, you know, again, with David and Tuukka, unique situations.
Five, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. And you can subscribe to 98.5, the Sports Hub there, 617-779-0985. The Bruins went nuts yesterday. They trade Vladar to Calgary for a third-round pick. Linus Ullmark is their big expenditure.
You said it correctly, Fred. I thought you were going to, it was a protest.
Well, just the first day, I got to let the audience know that I learned his name is Linus.
Okay.
4 year, $20 million. That was their big pickup there. And then they went and they got a left shot to defenseman, and they got three forwards who are big but can't score, one of whom is old. And they went and did that. And so my dream that I've had for a year of the Bruins getting, turning things over, going with a young goaltender, using all this money and, you know, changing things up, getting a difference maker, a superstar, are out the window. They did retain Taylor Hall. They did get Sarge Riley. They have shored up their defense. They have six starting caliber defenseman in the NHL. And then they have a bunch of depth at forward. Their second line is a big mystery. It might be worse. My idea was not to keep David Krejci, but to improve upon David Krejci. That did not happen.
Well, the David Krejci thing is interesting because yesterday when asked to Don Sweeney, he said, Krejci has his own reasons for his timeline. He'll keep those private, as will I. So, I mean, he's obvious. It sounds like the offer is there. We don't know how much it's for. But, I mean, we're at a point now where they've got, what, like $1 million left? And I know that there's people you can move and things you can do.
Well, you can go 10% over the cap in the offseason.
So I don't really see. I mean, we're kind of running out of space here.
Well, I think that they could keep Krejci. Ty Anderson, who writes about the Bruins for 98.5thesportshub.com, he writes about everything, but specializes in the Bruins. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Ty, what were your feelings on the moves yesterday? Before we get to the individual players, on the strategy of what they did yesterday.
Flexibility is the name of the game for them, and it's because of what you guys are mentioning with Krejci, and even with Tuukka to a degree. It's for them. It's about fixing some of these holes as best you can on the first day of free agency, right? While also leaving the door open for these players to come back on short-term deals, not big money deals, but again, things that allow you to improve your team right now without completely closing a door on, because they have some very clear ideas of what they want, and in my opinion, it involves Krejci being back next year. So you can't go out and rush to spend all that money on a second line fix to replace him, because they ultimately want him back as well.
So, okay.
All right, so they hamstrung themselves because they want Krejci, basically.
I think that it's trying to make the best out of the unknown, right? Like, Eric Hall is 3 years removed, I think, or 4 years removed from a great season as Vegas' second line center. You take a gamble on him, relatively low money. Thomas Nosek is coming off a great year with an elevated role. You take a gamble on him. You know, Foligno's role, he's a little bit older. That's the one that's probably the most, I would say, you look at that one and you say, okay, that one could hurt you at almost $4 million. But you take some gambles on some players that also address some needs for you in the bottom six, because it's clear that they looked at their bottom six and their roster as a whole and said, we're once again relying on star power a little bit too much. So they were in a weird spot, but for them, it's about maximizing the roster across the board until they get a clear idea of what David Krejci wants to do.
All right. So Ty, I was somewhat surprised that their philosophy in net was, I thought they were going to bring in like an older veteran to be the backup for Swayman and just be, you know, like someone reliable and put Swayman in net and him be the guy. Obviously they didn't feel they wanted to go that route. Were you surprised by that? And what do you believe that means for Tuukka Rask?
I was surprised because I entered yesterday with pretty low expectations of what that goalie would be. I was saying all along that I would expect a Craig Anderson type, like a number three who can step in and maybe challenge a little bit, because I thought that if you were a real goaltender, you wouldn't want to come into the situation knowing that Tuukka was coming back. It's a big move to throw $20 million at the opening. And so with Ullmark, I think for them, it's keeping your options open, but also knowing that maybe that guy, right, like that number three goalie who's just a stopgap wasn't going to be enough, right? And so what if Swayman stinks? Like, we don't, like, I hate saying this because people think you're ripping him when you say it, but what if he's not good? We've seen him for 10 games. It's entirely possible that he's not the guy. And if you have a lesser option, you know, as that veteran guy, and he stinks, well, now you've closed the window. Now it's over, because you're not going to be a playoff contender if you're asking a guy who doesn't have the same magic he had last season and a less than stellar veteran option. You're not going to contend. So I think this was them maybe looking at that problem and saying, we need more. We need more of a certain thing there. And Ullmark, for them, is that guy. But there's risk in that contract, too, given his health issues. And, you know, if he can truly translate and build off some great numbers, both advanced and just eye test watching him on a bad Buffalo team. But I think this is the price you pay when you have a little bit less certainty from that position.
So where's Tuukka then in all this? Because I know that they were asking about it, and I know that it's going to be, what, March now we're hearing that he would come back? I mean, how do you think they're going to handle this?
I still think he's back. Like, I think that was a big reason why they traded Vladar yesterday, is that if they ultimately make that move for Tuukka, they're going to have options, namely with Jeremy Swayman. They can send him down to Providence, no problem. And it was funny because you're looking at this thing, okay, what if Swayman is the real deal? And what if he's, you know, and Tuukka wants to come back, he's 10-2 with a 925. What do you do? Well, maybe the Bruins say we don't need Tuukka. But I think they look at this and they are fully comfortable signing Tuukka and sending Swayman down to the minors. Mm-hmm. Like, they still believe in Tuukka. And I know it drives people crazy, but listening to Sweeney yesterday, he sounded like a guy who fully plans on picking up that phone and calling Tuukka Rask when he's fully healthy and saying, you want to come back for the year and see what they can do. Because they have understood that the depth of this team has been a problem at every position for the last 4 years, let's just say. And they're not going to shut a door on anybody right now, especially not a goaltender who was playing well until his body gave out on him in the second round, was playing well in the playoffs. So they're not going to close any doors right now on anybody, because they understand the importance of still building the best team possible when they're fully entrenched in a win now kind of mindset.
All right, can you
how much do you pay them?
Yeah.
Well, what you can do is he wouldn't have to go through waivers, right? Like, that's something that you've been seeing out there because he's not playing in Europe before signing. So what you can do is you can sign him for a prorated amount. How much would that affect your cap? It all depends kind of where you are at that point. But you've seen teams sign guys to prorated amounts when they're midseason signing. So I would imagine that if he is back, it's going to be a prorated amount for, let's just say, $3 to $4 million, right? So it's not going to be a huge thing. The fact that he openly said it's the Bruins or nothing benefits the Bruins. If he wants to continue his pro career in the NHL in Boston, he's going to have to make a concession. He's not going to be a $7 million guy or even a $5 million guy.
If Swayman hits, which they believe he will, how much is $5 million going to be looked upon across the league as paying for a backup?
Yeah, that's where it's like, okay, what does a team look like when Tuukka signs? That's the great mystery because
not Tuukka. Forget about Tuukka. I don't care. Whatever. If he comes back, he comes back. That's a conversation for next year. But Ullmark, ultimately, if Swayman is good, and Swayman is this elite goaltender that you believe he can be, and you still have Ullmark for 3 years, making $5 million per. I understand you don't have to pay Swayman for a while, but how much is $5 million? League wide, what is that? What's the going rate for a backup goaltender? You know, $5 million seems like a lot when we're used to a guy making $1.52 million.
Yeah, no, that part is true. I would say that you look at sort of what they've spent in recent seasons, right? Like they had the tandem with Halak and Rask was what, almost I believe almost $11 million the first 2 years of Halak being in town. Mm-hmm. So it's still a little bit of savings in terms of what you were paying. Look at what Montreal paid last year for Price and Allen. Look at what Vegas paid for Fleury and Leonard this past year. So you're seeing teams spend more money on goaltending as a tandem. And what happens with Swayman being under team control, you can sort of manage that price throughout, I would say, almost the entirety of Ullmark's four-year contract here.
Right.
And what happens, too, is that I think that with the Bruins, it's not going to be a starter and a backup, right? If you're paying Ullmark this money, you're looking at something similar to what you've done with Rask and Halak here, where it's probably closer to a 50-50 split. And I think the sort of the advanced metrics here, the advanced research that you've seen a lot of teams do is that the days of a goaltender starting 60 games are kind of over. So you might see that 40-40 split or that 50-30 split down the line, that might be the norm now. So I think what they've done in the past with spending on goaltending, but also what the league is doing in terms of spending on goaltending, I think that looking at Ullmark and saying he's a $5 million backup or having concerns that might be the management of the cap, I think it's probably not going to shake out like that, just the way that the league is trending.
Can you stick around for another break? Because there's so much to talk about. David Krejci we haven't even gotten to. And some of these other guys. Would you be able to stick around for another break, Ty?
Yeah, I got nothing going on.
Right. Excellent.
All right, there you go. All right, we'll continue with Ty Anderson coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They've got the insiders.
Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
David and I have communicated pretty consistently over the last little while. Nothing has changed in that front. You know, he has his own reasons, and he's going to keep those private, as I am, in terms of what his timeline is. Not unlike Tuukka, we've left things completely open-ended about him possibly returning to play for us. So there's not a definitive timeline, as you could see from from several of the signings and the approach that we took, that the center ice position, a little bit by committee, that we're going to have to do that and allow some players to get into some spots and hopefully perform to the level they're capable of.
Fixing hoverboards, opening juice boxes, doing all kinds of stuff. All right, I got it. Thank you.
So hoverboards are still, like, they're still out and about? I thought that was kind of like that dangerous toys back in the day where they got recalled. And are they not exploding anymore? Have they learned how to do them right?
I don't know.
Because remember hoverboards for a while? They were putting them on, like, you couldn't put them on an airplane because they were exploding.
Yeah, they got them for Christmas. We celebrate Christmas here, so we leave a lot of stuff here.
Okay.
It's more about the opening of the presents, I believe, than it is the actual
enjoyment of said present, right?
Yeah, that's what our lives have become, and I think that... and good, these two take, and they lost the Chargers, and now I got to find a Charger, and these take two different kinds of Chargers. So, fantastic.
The hoverboard of sensation has almost been replaced by the one wheel. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah, there's nothing cooler.
Than
a guy cruising down the street on a one wheel.
And it's almost never a kid. It's always like a grown man.
It always is a grown man. I heard, when I first got out of rehab, I was listening to these podcasts that were suggested, like, for a little while, and there was this guy, and there was always these rich guys, and he's like, how'd you prepare for this big wave surfing that you know you moved to Bali for a year? And he's like, and dudes would be like, dude, I was in Manhattan, I just had the one wheel, I just went out every day. And I'm like, this is supposed to be inspirational? Like, this guy, like, he just,
it's wow, the concrete surf, man.
Yeah, wow, you've learned to drive a one wheel. Congratulations, you've solved all of life's problems.
That needs to be an Olympic sport.
Yeah, wow, like, I look up to you, that's like, there was this Navy SEAL dude, and he's like, you gotta get up at 4:30 in the morning. They're like, why do you gotta get up at 4:30 in the morning? He's like, well, so you can work out before everyone. And I'm like, why? It's not a good reason.
Because Mark Wahlberg told me to.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what did you learn? What habits have you kept from the Navy SEALs? Getting up at 4:30. Why? So you can work out before everyone. Okay. And they're like, why? And he's like, well, because then you've worked out and then you feel good. And you're like, well, that's sound advice. I'm glad I spent my time listening to this. Ty Anderson has sound advice. As the Bruins, quite frankly, I had a plan, a fantasy for over a year. When I saw that was what was coming with the cap and the emergence of a young goaltender, and they turned around and signed a goaltender and got a bunch of big dudes that can't score. But Ty Anderson is here and, very cryptic about David Krejci. It seems like they do want Krejci back. They certainly haven't improved upon the position. They downgraded the position if he does not come back. And, what is your feeling there, Ty, about the David Krejci situation? Is it a family thing, wanting to go back to the old Czech Republic or wherever he's from, or is it money, or what's the story?
Yeah, so I actually touched on this on 985sportshub.com when I wrote about this last night. It really is about family. He made it clear in his year-end Zoom with us that I got the sense that he was homesick, right? But also the fact that he wants his children to experience Czech culture a little bit. He noted how his parents don't speak English and his children don't speak Czech. And so there's a communication issue there, right? And he's wanted to play in the Czech Republic when his career is winding down. But the reasons for that have changed. And it really comes back to his family and what he wants to do. And I think that the last 18 months, it's made a lot of people reconsider their priorities and what's important to them. And I think this may be an example of that for David Krejci. So it's not about the money. That's why, you know, seeing the dwindling cap space. I mean, he's not going to play for league minimum, but you're seeing it and you're like, okay, maybe it's not as crazy as you think, because they can make some maneuvering here to keep him if he wants to be here and he wants to compete for another Stanley Cup. But I think personally that it does come back to his family, and if he wants to do another deal here where he's putting off going back home and re-immersing himself and his young family into Czech culture.
How much trouble are they in if he doesn't return?
Considerable. I think it's considerable because he was such a great fit with, or I should say Taylor Hall was such a great fit with him, right? And, yeah. and now you'd be basically trying to rebuild that chemistry from scratch with a new guy. I mean, they have Studnicka, right? And they've said that they would prefer to put Studnicka in a top six role when he is ready. Maybe that would work, but you just spent $24 million on Taylor Hall. And one of the reasons why is you loved his fit with David Krejci. Well, now if he's not there, now Hall is in that situation that he's been in on past teams where he's now the guy, right, on that second line. So his role goes from being more support to driving. And can he do that? Does he want to do that? You know, when you sign that contract, I mean, it's kind of you're kind of responsible for that, yes. But does that now put him in a situation where he's a bit more uncomfortable, let's just say, for lack of a better word, than he was with David Krejci in the middle? So they have options, but none of them are as good as David Krejci in 2021-22.
All right. Now, when we take a look at, as a whole, what they were able to do, and Fred's right. I mean, they ended up getting a bunch of guys that it seems like we've got a lot of size. They were able to do something with the goal that we weren't expecting them to do. Did they... How much better did they get, I guess, is the bottom line. And if this is it, is it enough?
Well, this, in my opinion, this can't be it, right? I think that they still need that high-impact left-shot defenseman. They didn't get it. And I don't want to kill them for that because I don't think that was available yesterday, right? Like, they kind of got boned out of adding that guy through almost no fault of their own, right? Like, Seattle takes Jamie Oleksiak. So he's not available to you. Alec Martinez decides he doesn't want to test the open market. He stays in Vegas. So he's not available. Ryan Suter wanted 4 years. He's 37. He wants a 4-year deal. I'm happy the Bruins didn't do that. Let the Stars make that mistake. They've made that mistake with so many guys now. Just go for it. That's fine. Do what you got to do. So that guy, that top 4D, wasn't available to them yesterday. So I like adding Derek Forbort. I don't think he's the answer. He's not the solution. But I think he's better than you are currently slated to play John Moore or Jacob Saboril in a key role for your team. I don't think that's a good idea. So this can't be it, right? And so how do they address that? Is that in season now?
Do you trade one of your stars?
Well, I was going to say that a guy who doesn't have a home right now is Jake DeBrusk. I mean, you look at their signings yesterday, left shot forwards, guys who slot in on the bottom six. Like that. Okay, so now where is DeBrusk, right? Does he get that chance to bounce back in Boston? I don't know. He's on the hook for out of that grouping of guys who have been here and guys who have played big roles. He's the most expensive, and he's also the most inconsistent. But you'd be selling on him at his lowest value. So trading him and saying we want to get a top 4D, that's not it. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take picks. It's going to take prospects. It's going to take maybe a role player or two down in Providence. So that's where they are now, right? Is that they may have to rechart their course here in terms of improving their defense. But I look at a guy like DeBrusk as saying, okay, there's no fit for him right now based on the moves you made yesterday. And how do you leverage that into something real?
Are you upset that they didn't, when you saw what guys like Coleman went for, are you upset that the Bruins weren't able to acquire some of those other bigger name free agents?
No, I'm actually happy they didn't acquire Coleman. When I saw that he was going to be maybe making $30 million, yeah. I was like, ugh, I don't want to do that because that's sort of the mistake this team has made in the past, right, where they've prioritized winning and the pedigree, right? Okay, well, that didn't work with Bolesky. It didn't work with David Backes. You know, when they rushed out to sign John Moore, people were like, it's a lot of money, a lot of years for a guy who is a role player. Right. And I felt the same way about Coleman, is that they missed the boat on Coleman. The time to get him was the 2020 deadline. They didn't. Tampa got him. You saw how that impacted the Lightning. Right. But I thought personally that if you went out and you signed him to that kind of contract, you were chasing what you missed. Right. And yeah. And I have a problem just in general with paying role players big money or top dollar after they've won a Stanley Cup, because I've never in my entire life, I've never seen a team overspend or pay top dollar for a role player, and then the success just automatically translates. I haven't seen that. So I'm okay letting someone else spend that kind of big money, because I think that all it takes is one bad contract to undo all of your hometown discounts and your cap management. And I think if you were paying Blake Coleman, the rumor was what, like $6 million was what, or
5 years, $6 million. Isn't that what it is a year? Is that what the deal is?
I think it's close to that, but yeah. I was totally content with letting someone else be that team, because that's not the Bruins' ultimate need. Their ultimate need is defense. And I thought that Coleman would have been a wasteful use of that asset and that cap space that you've worked so hard to carve out for yourself.
All right. Well, you went into free agency. The problem with this team is they're too hot, top heavy with their scoring, and they're light on D, and you still got no one else who can score, and you're still light on D. But you got yourself a goaltender, so there you go. That's the way I look at it. Not thrilled. But listen, Ty Anderson, you cover the team. Thank you so much for the time. Read Ty at 98.5thesportshub.com. As more, I'm sure, is on the way. There's still trades and things to have happen.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see. Not exactly excitement reigning right now.
No, and this is sort of the problem that we work ourselves into with, like, thinking that everything's decided on day one, because there's going to be some more signings. There's going to be some more movement. I ultimately think some of the best moves a team makes are moves made a month from now, just because you got to see how the market bears out and who's available and what happens. But no, this is an incomplete product right now. And so when we circle back in training camp, and if this is the team, then yeah, we're going to have some legit questions, just like we did last year, where their defense, they never added to it. And then they went out and they had to add to it at the deadline. So if this is it, we're going to have some questions. But right now, you're right. It's hard to sit here and say that they got markedly better in anything besides maybe their forward depth in terms of being harder to play against and versatility. So I want to see how it all shakes out, but I ultimately think that Krejci's back, and then they'll figure out the defense here at some point. And if they don't, then yeah, I don't know if they're better than they were last year.
All right. Thank you so much for the time, Ty. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
All right. Well, if there's one thing we know, And we found out about it earlier today, Rich, is mm-hmm. that Joe Murray is a man of passion.
He's very passionate.
He's a man who lives a lifestyle of sensuality, and nothing proves that more, Rich, than his weekend shows.
I have heard some of this. I have to be honest, I haven't heard a lot of the weekend stuff, and now it's I'm going to have to podcast that stuff, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know why the station won't do it. I've been asking them for a while.
I'm in the car all weekend usually, so I hear all of Joe Murray. Mm-hmm. I hear hours at a time of Joe Murray because I'm long-distance driving most weekend mornings and then early afternoons. So I hear Joe, and Joe is a man of passion. We will prove that. Not by replaying anything. Maybe you'll hear Ashley Alexis with Joe tomorrow, just to make him more uncomfortable. But we will be back and with our proof that Joe is a man of sensuality and great appetites. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Real quick, shouts out to our man, Alan Siegel, who we haven't talked to in a long time.
Oh, yeah. What's he up to?
He has an article in The Ringer focusing on the older character actors in season two of I Think You Should Leave, which is interesting to hear how those guys prepared for the roles and everything. They have Crashmore on there, and they have the guy who eats the hamburger.
Well, the guy who eats the hamburger is a find. Like, I mean, he's just he's a guy. I don't know who these guys are. I've never seen them. It's kind of like the steering wheel fly out the window famous guy from season one. I mean, Tim Robinson has just struck gold in finding these supporting cast members to be stars of their skits.
Apparently, he's very hands-on and very good at working with these guys. So read our friend Alan Siegel, wrote a very nice article about us back when everyone hated us for Boston Magazine. So there you go. All right. Earlier on the show, we had Ashley Alexis on. Now, Ashley Alexis is a world-famous model, and she is someone who Joe has so openly lusted after that he had to pull back today. He didn't know she was going to be on the air, but when Rich and I did, and when we were introducing her, before we introduced her, we were trying to get Joe to kind of act like he did yesterday when he was talking about her, but he said she's local 85 times instead. In fact, I do want to I want to replay the interview tomorrow. I really do, because Joe, and I want to play the setup, especially because the setup to me is funnier even than when she's on. Because Joe's just like, she's local. She's local. And he's got this look on his face like, she's local. Like,
I mean,
like, I'm not, like, I didn't do anything wrong. Local.
Fred, everything he was saying and the way he was acting, 1,000,000% meant that somebody sat down with him yesterday. It was like, what was that all about?
Or he beat himself up about it because his idea that, like, well, there's a lot of people that live in Boston. You don't talk about how you think they're all hot all the time. I mean, you think she's hot. That's fine.
Well, I think he might have also, seen that she had heard the segment. He didn't know she was going to come on, but she had tweeted that she had heard the segment.
Of course he had seen that. He's all over everything she does.
I guess so. By the way, she's tweeting like videos of to Joe now saying how I felt after our interview together.
Joe, and it's Joe,
sort of like
Joe,
dancing Joe, around and Joe, stuff like that.
Joe so. Won't be just in there for long. Joe will
be just smitten there.
Just smitten there.
Yeah, Joe will be.
by the way, I tweeted out a photo. Somebody, Craig, put on, took off of Twitch a photo of his face during the interview, and it's just the best. He's just in his happy spot.
But if you live with Joe, just give Joe about 20 minutes when he gets home today alone. Don't bother him. He's not doing anything wrong. All right, I got to see this picture of Joe.
Oh, I put it on our Instagram and I tweeted it out.
Okay, let me look at Instagram. All right. So anyway, so Joe is a man. Oh boy. Oh yeah, that's the look. That is the look. So
you know what? That is ripe for Photoshop with thought bubbles.
Yes,
like that.
Indeed.
That is a thought bubble Photoshop
or
waiting
put that
to
on
happen.
A lobster. But anyway, so. Boy, oh boy. Just look at that face. That's the face of you not holding any of that wrestler up is what that face is. That face pisses me off because I think of how humiliating it was that I could barely hold that lady up.
Lacey
Evans. And then I look at the photo when Joe's like got a pinky on her. Like just his heart is five sizes too big. So anyway, because he's too smitten. All right. So anyway, so Joe, Rich, you're a novice when it comes to Joe. You don't know nothing.
No.
Me, I'm an expert on Joe.
Weekend Joe, yes.
Joe's show has fascinated me now for quite some time because there came a time where Joe, and I think rightly so, I've told you, I listen to Joe more than anyone else on the radio station, and that's a fact. Some of it's by happenstance, and some of it's that I listen to him. I don't turn it during commercials. I stay glued in. And Joe at one point decided to pivot to full on Joe, and Joe's show is not a lot about sports.
Anything goes on the Joe show.
That's fine, and I like it. I told you I like it. This is all complimentary. This is all complimentary. If I get some vanilla kit on, there's no bit. So Joe, though, Rich, decided to just go, you know what? I'm not full time. Let's get some free stuff. But it comes from a place of in such
I mean, he's learned the magic of radio. You speak it, and it wills to existence, just like Ashley Alexis calling in.
Exactly.
He spoke about her, he praised her, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, magically she appears on the phone.
Well, so Al Cole, and we talked about El Erotico, the kid from 99X that went on, and then Al Cole, and how they would do these shows just trying to get laid. Well, Joe doesn't do that. Joe does shows just trying to get free stuff. So he does, the reason it works is because it comes from such a place of passion. So
sure.
Rich, Billy Lanny has taken some segments from his weekend show where he's talking about food.
That's right.
And the food is beeped out, and we just have to guess what dish or what kind of food Joe's talking about.
Yeah, that's right. What food is Joe Murray fawning over? And Dan, you could actually play this game as well. You and Fred together. I will play the clip, and when you hear the beep, that is him mentioning the name of the food. Fred, are you ready?
I am ready.
But when I get my I want that, like, that jar, you know, like that, like you, that like comes out real slow. That's what I want when I pour. I don't even know how the hell to say that thing either.
That's just one way of saying,
right?
I don't know what you're talking.
I hear people call. That's what I want. Some places will give you that little squirter thing. They'll give you that little. I don't want the squirt.
Okay.
This is Joe on a sports talk radio station, by the way.
I'm imagining there's nothing funnier than when very hungry people swear about food.
Yeah,
I'm imagining only half of those being the name of the food and the other half being swears. Like,
I just want the effing mayonnaise. Effing mayonnaise.
Like when someone walks into a buffet and goes, son of a bitch.
All right. Holy. I'm guessing. It's mayonnaise or ketchup.
No, I think he's talking about what that stuff goes on, I believe.
Oh, but it's in a. But he wants a jar of it.
Right, right. Yeah. But it's what you apply it to.
Yes.
Oh, hot dog.
Joe, would you like to answer?
It's syrup.
On what?
On like pancakes or French toast.
Comes in a jar.
They either give you the squirter or that like little jar you can pour out, you know?
Okay. That's not a jar.
I don't want the squirt. I want the jar.
It has a handle on it, and you pull it back, and you pour it out.
You
it
know
comes
what I'm talking
out,
about.
It comes out
yeah,
pretty
it's called
good.
A pitcher.
Yeah, thank
you. Not a jar.
Whatever.
Jar
is a squirter.
I don't want the squirt. I want the jar. I want the pitcher.
All right. What is next, Rich?
All right, what was he talking about here?
The other thing I've been putting in the air fryer of late is I've been doing this like garlic parm like lately.
Really?
Pop that back. I chop it up real nice. Chop it up real good.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the air fryer because I have like the basket air fryer, the Kasori.
Yep.
Put it in there and I just put all the ingredients in. And then I'll put it in. I'll pop it in for like 7 minutes and I'll shake it all around.
Now, do you bread? You like put breading on it?
Sometimes, but no, this is just a garlic parm version.
Right.
And then I'll chop it up. I'll put it in the air fryer. I'll put salt, pepper, garlic, whatever
powder.
It is. Yep. And I'll shake it up. And then I'll pop it in there.
I heard this. I heard this. He cooks one vegetable in the air fryer, which he's very proud of because it's a vegetable. But I don't know. Think that's what it is.
So it said Joe is the alcohol of food.
No, that's what I just said. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I said that. That's what I just said.
He did say
listeners
that.
Ripping off my crap. All right. Oh, man. Your guest, because I heard it and I can't remember. Your guest.
Dan?
I'm actually going vegetable too, but it's either... I was going to say broccoli, but Joe's not a broccoli guy. It's cauliflower.
Joe?
Cauliflower.
It's like everything you put on it, like garlic parm. It's like a bang cauliflower, but it's fried.
So proud that he makes cauliflower in that thing. Because he talks about it all the time. Because it's like his healthy snack.
Yes.
Buffalo Brussels sprout as well in the air fryer.
Yeah, the Brussels sprout.
Hey, what do you do? You stir it?
You shake it up.
And we have time for one more. One more of Joe rhapsodizing about some food item.
Okay. Right,
here we go.
I will tell you, though, the ladies that got married the other night, they were in their wedding dress. I was like, this is impressive to me. I was like, look at you guys getting dirty with your, you know,
getting all cracking buttered up
with a wedding dress on. That's something. I'm like, love that.
Okay, this part, Rich, this was part of an in-depth two-hour discussion.
This is food-related?
This is.
Okay.
And this is part of an in-depth food discussion that lasted 2 hours. Because Joe had just been on the Cape, and there was a big discussion on lobsters, and how to eat lobster. And when I tell you it was 2 hours, I'm not shorting you 1 second. This is 2 hours, and that is Joe rhapsodizing about lobsters.
Joe, oh, what were you talking about there?
Lobster.
Joe had just been to the Cape and had an eye full of lobster. And Joe was a little hungover that morning. And so there was conversation, and the conversation was so long and so so intoxicating that it bled into the next show. And whoever was hosting the next show had some dud with him. And the guy who was hosting the show was like, how do you like your lobsters? And the guy's like, stuffed. He's like, yeah. And then he's like, okay. Like, so the guy after Joe had a big dud next to him that couldn't do anything.
So what you're saying is the guy next to him said, so what do you like to eat?
Tomatoes.
Yeah, he was just like, stuffed. And he's like, okay. Because the phones weren't working, and the dude that was on was panicking. It was the guy that does the show with Adam Jones. But he had a big dud next to him.
Arcan.
Plumis.
Yeah, it was Arcan, and he had a big dud next to him. And so Arcan was freaking out about no phones, and how he was going to fill the time. But there you go. That is Joe rhapsodizing about lobster.
That was one segment, bro.
No. That was more than one segment, my friend.
Lobster in more ways than one this week has been a highlight. You just went straight.
Well, it's top of mind. He was just on the Cape. He comes back with a head full of whatever he was just eating. All right. Well, that's the butts of the sea we learned. All right. We will be back. We will be joined by that picture of Joe. Good old Joe. Not holding that chick.
I need Photoshops of his face. And I need thought bubbles immediately.
Keith Smits from CBS Sports is going to talk to us about the NBA draft in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.